So we're going to start in verse 31. So hopefully you have John chapter 5, verse 31. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I received is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard. His form you have never seen. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and that is that they bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" All right. Well, last time we talked about Jesus and he was testifying about himself, I told you it gets much better and there's more coming, that Jesus is really kind of hitting hard here. But this morning we're continuing our journey, and this is part of our journey through John's gospel. And you remember, John's gospel is written, and John says himself, so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing we have life in his name. And we pick up today where we left off in chapter 5. And if you remember, chapter 5 is very important. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and chapter 5 opens with him coming into Jerusalem, and he heals a man who had been an invalid for 38 years, which is great, but he did it on the Sabbath, which then brought criticism from the religious leaders, because they were more concerned about the letter of the law than they were about a man who is now couldn't walk, but now could walk. He was now healed after 38 years. So Jesus tells them, but don't worry about the Sabbath. It's permissible because the Father's always working, so he works every day, and I work every day. It's okay for me. So he's basically making himself equal with God, which then brings the anger of these religious leaders even more, because now they're seeking to kill him or seeking to put him to death for blasphemy. However, instead of cowering, instead of shirking back from their criticism, Jesus takes them on, head on, and he reasserts his deity to them, telling them about himself. He says, "I am the one, right? I am one with God. I am the one in whom there's judgment, and I am the one who gives life," is what we talked about in the passage leading up to this. And it's from this testimony about himself that our passage picks up in verse 31, that we talked about in verse 31. And look back again at verse 31. It says, "If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true." So Jesus notes that, all right, I've just borne witness about myself. I've just given you claims about myself, about who I am. But if I'm the only one saying it, if I'm the only one claiming it, and it's just my say-so, it's really not... You can always cast doubt on that, right? It doesn't necessarily, it isn't to be believed. However, there's more witnesses than just Jesus himself to who he is. Jesus, as witnesses to him, is the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the one whom through all life is given. And he's about to share these witnesses. There's a wealth of witnesses about who Jesus is. In fact, this wealth of witnesses is the key to Jesus being identified and believed in as the Christ. And you know what? It's interesting because as we look at this wealth of witnesses that Jesus shares in our passage this morning, we can apply this to our own lives as followers of Jesus, because as we seek to follow him and share him in our world, there's a wealth of witnesses that can support that. You see, belonging to Jesus goes beyond just our word or our claims that we belong to Jesus. There's much more that can prove that we belong to Jesus in our world. With Jesus, his identity goes beyond just his own word or his own testimony. There's more that points to him as God, and there's more that should point to us and our lives as believers, as ones belonging to Jesus, than what we say about ourselves. Because many people, what do they say? Talk is cheap, right? We can make all kinds of claims about ourselves, can't we? And people do that all the time in our world today. We see it in our society. People just identify something about themselves or make a claim about themselves. But just because you make this claim about yourself doesn't make it true. And this is what Jesus is getting at with himself, but it also applies to our lives as followers of him or those belonging to him. Just because we say it doesn't make it true. But when there is a wealth of evidence that supports that claim and that shows that claim, and it's good evidence and it's real and true evidence, then it leaves no doubt. And that's what we see in our passage this morning, that there's proofs and witnesses that leave no doubt that who Jesus is who he says he is. And it's these witnesses that can also, these same witnesses that Jesus talks about in this passage, can leave no doubt in our own lives, and that we belong to Jesus, and thus we can share him right where we are in our world. So let's kind of continue in our passage. Look down at verse 32, and beginning in verse 32, Jesus then begins to share the first of these witnesses. So again, I've told you when we look at John, we can kind of picture a courtroom scene and that John's kind of proving who Jesus is and saying he's the one to believe in. So picture this. Jesus is now coming up as a lawyer, and he starts to call witnesses to the stand to say who he is. So he calls his first witness, his first outside witness, and it's another person, right? It's John the Baptist is who Jesus is talking about. And John was known to all the Jews around the Jerusalem area. Even these religious leaders looked up to John at one time. And John was considered the greatest prophet, not only of his time, but maybe of all time. So people knew John and they respected John. And Jesus notes that John bears witness of him. Now, how does John bear witness of him? Well, he does it several times in John's gospel, doesn't he? In fact, back in chapter 1, the religious leaders come to John, he has to defend himself, and then the next day he sees Jesus coming towards him, right? And John chapter 1, it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So John is testifying. He's saying, this is who Jesus is. I want you to know this. I'm testifying. I'm a witness to this. Now, in saying this, John isn't making Jesus who he is. John isn't the one who makes Jesus God's son. You know, the Son of God, in whom is life and all of these. He's not making him the Christ. Rather, he's just recognizing or testifying about who Jesus is as God in the flesh, as the promised Messiah. And verse 35, it kind of talks about that John's this strong voice, right? This lamp that everybody listened to. Even the religious leaders listened to what John said. At least they listened to him as long as he kind of aligned with what they thought. And that's why he kind of went on the outs with them. It's because he kept bearing witness of Jesus, right? But John was a credible witness. And just as the witness of John the Baptist helps leave no doubt to Jesus' claims, or helps to remove that doubt about Jesus' claims, we also need more than what we just claim about ourselves to remove that doubt that we belong to Jesus. You see, we also leave no doubt that we belong to Jesus through the testimony of not John the Baptist, but of others. Do you know that? We can show, or it can be demonstrated, that we belong to Jesus through the testimony of other people. Now, just as Jesus, he didn't live for the praise of people, even the praise of John, we shouldn't be living for the praise of people. It's not that we're going out and just say I belong to God, you know, just kind of say. We shouldn't be looking for that so that we're pumped up. But if we truly belong to Jesus, others will notice and see Jesus through us. It's a natural outflow of belonging to Jesus, right? Just as Jesus tells how John was this shining lamp, Jesus tells his followers in Matthew, he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. You see, it's not others who give us glory, rather others recognize Jesus in us and give God glory. You see, we can claim we belong to Jesus, but if no others notice, if nobody notices, or they can't see Jesus in us, that casts doubt on our claims. But when others see Jesus in us, it should encourage us that we belong to Jesus and that he's being shared through us, that other people can tell that we belong to Jesus, and it should encourage us. It's especially true when there's those who are strong witnesses. Very credible. And what I mean by that, those people that are strong in their faith, those people that people respect and look up to, other Christians, when another strong Christian recognizes that in you, that's something that should encourage us, that, wow, it's actually being seen by others. I love the way Paul does this, and Paul does this a lot through a lot of his letters. And there's one guy that Paul mentions in, you probably never heard of him, but he mentions in several of his letters, at the end of his letters where he kind of does the closing greetings and things. It's a man named Tychicus. Have you ever heard of Tychicus? Well, Paul talks about him in like four of his letters. And at the end of Colossians, here's what Paul says about Tychicus. Tychicus will tell you about all my activities. He's sending Tychicus back to the church in Colossae to talk to them. And he says, he's a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Can you imagine this encouragement that this has to be for Tychicus? That Paul himself sees Jesus in him? So much so that Paul says, hey, people, this is a guy you should listen to because Jesus lives in him. So he's going to be faithful to what God is saying. Isn't that cool? And again, it's not in the matter of puffing Tychicus up. Rather, it spotlights Jesus in him. Our sharing of Jesus with others, it's more powerful when other believers notice Jesus in us. When they recognize that, then they can bear witness. Others can even bear witness that we belong to Jesus. And you know, that's also an important way that we can encourage others. When we see someone who claims to belong in Jesus and we see Jesus evidenced in them, that we can note that, we can encourage that in them. It's a great thing for us to do. But we leave no doubt that we belong to Jesus when what we claim is accompanied by the testimony of others. And that's what Jesus is doing by looking at the testimony of John. Now, that's not the only testimony. Actually, Jesus says, that's the least of the testimonies I have to share. In fact, there's an even better testimony that I want to share with you. Look at verse 36. But the testimony I have is greater than that of John. He says, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works I am doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. So this greater testimony, he says, is the works that Jesus is doing, the works that the Father has given him to do, to accomplish. These are the works that Jesus is doing amongst these people who are criticizing him. Well, what are these works? Well, probably the immediate work is that they just saw him heal a man who couldn't walk for 38 years. And Jesus is like, these works, they should tell you something. Not only these works, but all the works that Jesus has come to do and all that he will do that he talks about. So all of his teaching, all of his healings, all of his miracles, and we're going to see some of his miracles next week and as we get into chapter 6. But also, it's all of this work of Jesus is capped off by his death and his resurrection that will secure salvation for the lost who come to trust him. And Jesus is saying, you want to know who I am? I can tell you who I am, but also look at what I do, because that reveals who I am. You see, Jesus isn't saying that these works that he's doing make him who he is. He's not doing them for his own glory. Rather, these works reveal who he is. They bear witness of who he is. See, this is an important truth. Jesus didn't come to earth. He didn't do all the miracles he did. He didn't preach. He didn't die on a cross or rise from the dead to become the Christ. He didn't do all that to become the Christ. He did them because he was the Christ. And that's what Jesus is saying. All these things bear witness. They don't make me who I am. Just as the praise of people and our own service doesn't make us who we are, it just reveals who we are. It helps point to God in us or Jesus in us. So So Jesus did all of these things because he was the Christ. These works point to and leave no doubt as to who he is. And you know, in a similar way, we leave no doubt that we belong to Jesus, not only through the testimony of others, not only through our own claims, but the testimony of others, but also through the testimony or the witness of our actions. You want to be encouraged that you belong to Jesus? Well, then our actions should show it. The way we live our life, Christ-like behaviors, they don't earn us a relationship with Jesus, but they reflect it. You see, Christ-like behaviors don't earn us favor with God, doing all these things. We don't earn salvation, right? But they reflect our salvation. They reflect something that has happened in us. If we truly belong to Jesus, then our lives should look different. Our lives should look like Jesus. In fact, Jesus reminded his followers later on in John, and we'll get to this in several weeks, in John 13, he says, "By this all people will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." You want to know one way that you can see that you belong to Jesus is that you display Christ-like love. Now notice I said Christ-like love. I didn't say love just in blanket acceptance or blind acceptance of whatever, and it's this hippie kind of love and just kind of peace and harmony. Rather, this Christ-like love that Jesus is talking about here is love that is defined, driven, and demonstrated by God. It's this love that he talks about through his word that is revealed through his love. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he dies for us. That's this love. And Jesus says, if we have this love for each other, people will know you belong to me. Isn't that cool? So we need to ask ourselves, do our actions look different because of Jesus? Because I claim to belong to Jesus? If we belong to him, they should. In fact, our actions should bear witness that we belong to him when they reflect Jesus. And a great way to gauge this is probably best through our service and the way that we serve. You see, are we serving to be noticed? Are we serving to be thanked? Or are we serving so that others look to us? Or are we serving because God has called us to serve, and those we serve are valued by him? Jesus told his followers in Mark, "Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." See, that's why the actions of Jesus reveal himself, because he came to serve, and not for his benefit, but for God's glory. Do we serve for God's glory, or are we serving because it looks good? You know, it looks good on our college resume, or, you know, it's something neat to say to kind of show off to other people. I do this. And a great way to gauge then our actions if we belong to Jesus is, how do we serve? Actions that serve God and point to his greatness and his purposes over our own reveal Jesus in us. And again, they leave little doubt that we belong to him. So those are two witnesses, right? Others and our actions. Now Jesus shares this third witness. And this is a key witness to showing who he is, and also that shows that we belong to Jesus. And it's why the rest of the passage is about this. So it's like 11 verses that Jesus talks about this final witness. And it will leave no doubt that he is who he says he is. Look at verse 37. He says, the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. How has the Father borne witness? He says, your voice you've never heard, his form you've never seen, and you don't have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one who sent me, but you search scripture. See what this witness is? Now, the interesting thing about this is, who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to the religious leaders who are made up of scribes and Pharisees. Scribes and Pharisees are supposed to be experts in the law. What is the law? The scriptures. Most notably, the first five books of the Bible, right? The works of Moses that God wrote through Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, right? These first five books, they're supposed to be experts in this. So Jesus says, you want to know the last witness? It's this, and you should know it, but you don't. You don't see it. You don't even believe it. So see how this is a big witness that Jesus is doing, because he's like, you should believe this, but you don't. And if you don't believe who I am, then you don't believe God's word and you don't know his word. So now Jesus is kind of turning the tables on these guys, because they're saying, you're not who you said, you're a fraud. And Jesus is saying, no, you're the fraud. If you don't see that I'm the one who's promised through scripture, then you don't know scripture at all. And everything you say you're an expert in, you're not. So this is kind of what he's kind of breaking down on them, these books of Moses. So he calls them out and saying they can't possibly believe God or his word if they don't see him for who he is. The Christ, God in the flesh, right? And then he tells them that scripture bears witness of him. Look at verse 31, right? And it is they that bear witness about me, or scripture bears witness about me. And this kind of hits back on that idea of them being more offended that Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath than they were happy that Jesus healed a man. You see, Jesus is saying, you get offended about this on the Sabbath, and you missed the whole point that it was me who healed this man. And you're so caught up on this, you don't understand anything. And Jesus is saying, scripture speaks of me. You know, sometimes we look at our Bibles and we say, well, I open my Bible and it's only those letters in red that talk about Jesus, right? No, all of Scripture talks about Jesus. And Jesus is hitting at this because at this time they only have the Old Testament. And these religious leaders put the most weight in these books of Moses, or the works of Moses, as God's Word. And they may think they know Scripture, but they totally miss what God's Word's all about. Because Scripture isn't about a bunch of laws. It's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's about Jesus. It's about God's love, and it's about his salvation and reconciling us, or bringing us back into relationship with God. That's what all of Scripture is about. And these religious leaders had set their whole existence on rules. And that's how you're known. And that's how you are acceptable to God, right? Because they pump themselves up and they say, this is what it is. Our piety gives us our worth. Jesus is like, no, you're missing the point of Scripture. It's about me. Then look at verse 43. He notes that he comes in God's names. He's not pumping himself up. He says, I'm coming in God's names. I'm not coming in my own name, or to pump myself up. See, he's saying to the religious leaders, that's what you get impressed with. You get impressed with the guy who comes up and says, look at me, aren't I great? This is who I am. And because that's who they are, right? They're the people that walk around in their robes all the time and being so holy and pious in front of people, and they say, see, aren't you impressed with me? And he says, Jesus is saying, you're impressed with that because you're just like that. That's not how I came. I came according to Scripture, and I came pointing to God. So he notes that, and he says, you know, I don't want glory for myself. I want to give it to God. Again, for these guys, law-keeping kind of defines their piety and their worth. Jesus seeks the Father's glory. And Jesus then assures him, but hey, I'm not the one accusing you. Don't get offended at me. Because the one you're impressed with, Moses, he's the one that's accusing you of this. Right? He says this down in verse 46. If you believed Moses, you would believe me. for he wrote of me. And what's he saying? He's saying, if you really look at what Moses really wrote, what God's word through Moses really says, it's about me. So he's the one who's accusing you. How is the first five books of the Bible all about Jesus? Well, they're all about Jesus. We see this in the pictures Moses paints. We see it through the whole sacrificial system. We see it through the picture of the Passover and this Passover lamb that brings salvation to a home and all of this. We see this in Genesis chapter 3 after the fall, and he gives this promise that, you know, that one will strike his heel and or bruise his head, and he will strike bruise his heel and he will strike their head, Genesis 3:15. In Numbers chapter 21. You remember when we went through the people of Israel in the wilderness and they disobeyed God and God sent those snakes into their camp, poisonous snakes, and they would bite people and they would die. And God told them, all right, Moses, you're going to bring salvation to the people. I want you to make a huge, huge staff and put a serpent up on top of a golden serpent. And if people look up at that after they're bitten, they will live. If they look to that for salvation, that's a picture of Jesus, right? Because it made a cross, and they're looking to that for salvation. Moses is all about painting these pictures of Jesus and talking about this promise through Abraham. And if you miss that, then you're missing what Moses is talking about. So he accuses you. How does Moses accuse you? Well, here's what God tells Moses about what he's written. At the end of Deuteronomy, he says, take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant, where it will always be viewed and always be saved, okay? So that it may be there for a witness against you. You know what he's saying? It will be there as judgment against us, or as an accusation or a witness or a testimony of what I am about and what I have said, so that when you're out of line, you see this. This is what I say. And it's not about a bunch of laws. It's about Jesus. So if they truly are, so this is how Moses accuses them or witnesses against them, by them not believing what God has said in his word through Moses about Jesus. Why? Because the Bible, when we take the Bible as God's word, it leaves no doubt as to who Jesus is. And as his followers, there's no doubt that we belong to Jesus through the testimony not only of other people and not only of our own actions, but also the testimony of God's word. God's word tells us we belong to Jesus if we do belong to Jesus. And it assures us. It tells us what it means to belong to Jesus. If we want to be assured of our own relationship with Jesus, we want to share him with others, we need to look to the witness of his word. Why? Because first of all, you know what Scripture does? It tells us how we come to belong to Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, Paul talks about that, right? He says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not just what we claim, but it's something, a trust that goes on in our heart, right? And Jesus is God. Scripture not only tells us how we come, it tells us what we need to have to belong to Jesus and to abide in Jesus, as we talked about that last week. Bill talked about that last week. But in Galatians chapter 2, Paul talks about that. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is what life looks like, belonging to Jesus. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. What's the key to belonging to Jesus? It's our faith. It's trusting in him. It's not about our works or our worth, but simple and desperate trust in Jesus Christ alone. And you know what Scripture also tells us? It tells us what belonging to Jesus looks like. How will I know I belong to Jesus? Or what can it look like? Peter tells us that. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's Peter saying? He's saying, here's who you are as belonging to Jesus. You are united together as God's children, as God's people. And you're this family who proclaim or glorify Jesus and his work in us. You see, this is what it looks like to belong to Jesus, is we gather together in unity around Jesus and we proclaim his excellencies so everybody gets to hear how he has taken us from darkness to his marvelous light or his glorious light. God's word tells us this. If we're trusting in anything other than this and working toward anything other than this, then we're misunderstanding salvation and we're misunderstanding God's word. God's word not only tells us how we're to be, but it also confirms that we are. Have you ever felt, man, I don't know who I am as belonging to Christ? I know I prayed a prayer and I know I did this, but I'm just nobody. And you start to doubt. God's word can even help when we doubt ourselves. Rather than other people just doubting us, we can doubt ourselves. But God's word can encourage us and can remind us who we are when we align ourselves with his word. His word is therefore, it's not only a witness of who we are for others, but also for ourselves, so that we can be encouraged that we belong to Jesus. That's why Paul's words in 2 Corinthians are so powerful, and it's kind of our church verse, where he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past. Behold, the new has come. What a promise that is, isn't it? That's why we cherish what God's word says, because it bears witness when we belong to Jesus. Again, like Jesus, we can make claims about who we are. You know, we can make personal claims and say, oh, I'm this and this. And as ones belonging to Jesus, we can say, yeah, sure, I belong to Jesus. But Jesus' claims and our claims, if it's just about ourselves, they can always be doubted. You see, belonging to Jesus goes beyond just our word. We need to understand that belonging to Jesus, it goes beyond just our word. There's so much more witnesses that bear, that testify that we belong to Jesus, that others can see. However, like Jesus, there are these witnesses to his identity, and there's more that testify to that, and also more that testify that we belong to Jesus than what we say. See, Jesus is shared, and we leave no doubt that we belong to him, not only through our words, but the testimony of others, right? Who see Jesus in us, and the testimony of our actions that reflect him, and the testimony of his word that not only reveal God's way, but also anchors our faith. So belonging to Jesus goes beyond just our word. There's many witnesses that show it, and Jesus here is kind of taking these guys to court and said, now criticize me with these witnesses. Now they still will, but they're wrong, right? So Jesus is laying out, and this is why John includes this in his gospel, this confrontation, because Jesus is saying, there's so much more than just who I say is. Look around, listen to others, see what I'm doing, and look back at Scripture. Nothing I'm doing is against what Scripture says. In fact, it all points to me. And we can be encouraged in that, because sometimes we say, well, I belong to Jesus, but nobody notices. Oh, but there's witnesses. There's witnesses that people will, if we belong to Jesus, they will see Jesus in us, even when we think they can't. And you know what? Through the way we live our life, and we live a changed life, through the way we handle things, because we go through things just like our neighbor who doesn't know Christ goes through, don't we? We still get, you know, broken pipes, and our car breaks down, and unfair things happen, but we handle that differently, and we go through it differently. Why? Because our actions reflect Jesus. And then we anchor ourselves in God's word, because God's word defines who we are and who God is for us. Sharing Jesus in our world right where we are is done beyond our words, with just as it is with Jesus. God has brought us witnesses. So I want you to be encouraged in that, because Jesus now is going to go and he's going to start doing a whole lot of things now. And they're going to clearly show who Jesus is, but yet those opposed still miss him. So as we go into next week, we're going to see, as he returns back to Galilee, some of the works that he does as Jesus. Not to become Jesus, but to reveal or reflect him as Jesus. So let's be encouraged and challenged to live for Jesus in light of these witnesses we have. Let's pray.